Welcome to our pre-show, the Phil Hendry pre-show for today. What is this? Tuesday. And Margaret and the gang are going to join me here for the gang. Isn't it nice you guys are characters? And
it's very, I think a lot of people don't take your show seriously because there are, you do character voices.
Now, what is that about, Phil?
What's what about?
Well, why, you know, I'm here on the program. Now, what do we got here?
That's Obama's got honored a 2013 Boston Sox.
Yeah, the Boston Sox is going to be in the White House.
The Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, the Boston Red Sox is going to be at the White House.
Well, from what I can tell, they're at the White House now.
Yeah.
Well, they're not going to be there. They're there.
Yeah. Okay, so there they are. Yeah, so this is our... So what are you guys saying?
Well, I don't know. Margaret said that because you do funny voices on your show, that perhaps the industry and people in general think, well, this is silly.
Oh, it could very well be. I mean, I don't know, you know.
But you're happy doing this.
Oh, yeah. I've never been happier doing a radio show. Never in my life have I been happier doing a radio show than I am right now, doing this one.
Bullshit. Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. The people will say, well, that the classic show where we pulled the phone calls and the this and the that and the something else will never be anything like it. Yeah, probably not until somebody else, you know, does it. But here's the thing about that show. If somebody else is going to do it, I can do it because that means there's phone calls coming in someplace. But right now, from what we could tell, from around, like I told you, from around 2011 on, the phone calls dried up. By the way, Mark, if you're listening, you and the rest of you little turds up there at TRN, which I'm saying this because they do, I guess that gives you an excuse, doesn't it, for how bad you were as a fucking radio producer. You'll always point to the day on the pre-show that Phil said, which you have a subscription to, where Phil said the following, well, the phone calls dried up anyway, so it was nothing that TRN did. No, that's true. There was nothing that TRN did.
Nothing. Nothing.
Oh, Phil, would you give it a rest? You know something?
Yeah, I think you need to, Phil.
By the way, just as a technical note, I think the other thing I need to do is bring in more paper rustling sounds between voices because I've tried to stop doing that because it was getting a little annoying to me, but you need that.
Now, why do you need that?
Well, just a little thing that kind of separates the voices so you don't hear breath and you don't hear,
You don't smell breath or you don't...
Hear breath. Hear, not smell it.
What about if you smell it?
I don't like smelling people's breath, but I...
Well, is my breath bad or...
No, I don't notice that your breath is... I don't notice anybody's breath is bad, which is really amazing if you think about it.
Why is that amazing?
Because morning breath is legendary funk breath. But the reason why I run out of breath is because I don't want to hear it. It's not about smelling it, bud.
Yeah, but about the smell of breath, though.
About talking about bad breath, we do have, what do we got?
We got Lavoris.
Forget Lavoris. We don't need Lavoris, man. You know.
Well, all right, man. Thank you, man. Thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you, man.
All right, there's our camera. This is really going to work out cool. What you're seeing behind me, folks, is essentially camera number one. Now, it's camera three that has been refocused to the computer screen in front of me, which is our machine number one. Now, it's not the brightest picture in the world. It's not the brightest bulb on the tree. But it's going to work fucking great when we want to just immediately roll some video from the internet. And before, I was having to reach over and fumble with our upload computer because that had the network connection to it. Now I don't have to do that. We do still have that computer as an upload computer. We can certainly, if it becomes more accessible, we can use it for that. But if we need more cameras, but we've taken one camera that was just pointless. It was that number one camera that shot across the desk here. And we've put it to much, 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 much better use, I think. So there's President Obama saluting the Boston Red Sox. By the way, President Obama saluting the Boston Red Sox. So please, you know, there's going to be quite an uproar and a firestorm over the fact that,
you know, while there's all kinds of problems in the world, what was Obama doing? I'll tell you what. He was doing the Boston Red Sox.
What do you mean he was doing the Boston?
You know, so Larry Grover. See, Now, a lot of people, I had a very good question on Twitbook. I mean, Facer. I mean, her face. I mean, sit on face sit on face. I had a great question there, and somebody asked, Phil, do you create the character? Do you decide on a character, then decide on topic? Do you decide on topic, then the character? It's always character, then topic. Always character, then topic. Now, you may see a topic like we just did, and we'll say, oh, wow, Obama and the Boston Red Sox, and it immediately marries itself to a character. That's pretty much story following character. That's a story that has no home, and each character looks at it and says in his own mind, which is my mind, says, do I want any part of that story? Do I want any part of that topic? And Larry, in my mind, jumped out and said,
you know, here's a guy fooling around with baseball. He can't even get people signed up for the Obamacare.
Yes, he did. He did. He met the... yes, he did. So what I do is then I go over here to my... accessories, get my notepad out, and I will begin to, you know, and I lost my leg, and I'll begin to, there's one problem with this, with the new camera behind me set up, which is this one here, yeah, it's too far over to the left, I need to turn it more to the right, because we have a piece of bare wall sitting there that bothers me. I'm that kind of an artiste. There's a part of me that's a set decorator. There is. We need to decorate that part. Yesterday's love was like a warm summer breeze. Notepad. Larry Grover on. What the fuck? Larry Grover on what? On Obama and the Sox. Now, got on the phone, exchanged some emails yesterday with our close personal friend, Darren McAfee at LEG, about getting the Phil Hendry show on stage, get Phil Hendry on stage to continue our one-man show effort, and that is going to be continuing. I can definitely tell you that we set the months of May or June when we go back on stage, and I don't want to tell you where, but it's pretty fucking cool. I will tell you that it will be in Southern California. I will tell you that I don't want to be specific, but it'll be in Hollywood. And, it probably will, but I won't say where. But the first letter of the place is, no, I better not. So that'll be happening in May or June. So I want to get you primed for that. I want to get everybody kind of, you know, groovy. I'm going to invite every industry person, person I know. And it'll be a showcase for, you know, it'll be one of those showcases, you know, where, you know, I got everybody there. And then I just like Nicolas Cage after the show, I walk up to the guy sitting there. Well, what about it? Have you got a new client, Mr. Brown? It's just not happening. Did you remember that scene in Peggy Sue Got Married? I love that scene because of how Nicolas Cage played that. He got rejected by this agent, by this manager agent, and instead of slumping, he laughed. His first thing was, ha, 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 ha. You know, his first reaction was laughing at how, probably just how incredible. How could you not think that I'm great? You know. Anyway, okay, let's just print this off. All right, I feel a lot better today, man. Yesterday, I felt great, but I was tired as fuck. Today, I haven't gotten any sleep either, but I feel way, way better. And probably that's because I always take a handful of Dexedrine, and then I chase that with Johnny Walker Blue, and I'm just fucking around. But I actually knew a guy, an old-school disc jockey. When I first got in the business, we had a guy, I will not mention names. We had a guy who was old school. And by old school, I mean this cat was... You got to understand something. Booze and drugs... there was a time when it was not necessarily mutually exclusive from actually being on the air. Probably, it was like being... The old days of being on the radio was like being a musician in a lot of ways, playing a gig. You know, I never, ever worked Stone, never, because I couldn't. It just fucked me up in a million different ways. I would like to have, probably. I thank God that I couldn't, because had I been able to work comfortably, either drunk or stoned or something, it would not have been good. You know, it would not have been good, man. I would have been a drug addict. I would have probably been a major drug abuser. As it is, the only thing that's hung me up in life is my mental illness, you see. So anyway,
Oh, you're not mental. Do you think you're mentally ill?
Yes, I do. No, I don't. But I knew an old school guy. This is how this cat went on the air every day. Handful of fucking speed and chased it with, like a glass of fucking whiskey, man. I don't know what he drank. Kessler's or some shit like that, you know, or is Kessler's bourbon? I don't know. That's what this dude did. And then we had a bar close to the radio station, and he popped over there during the news break, got another, you know. And this guy was one of the top-rated guys on the radio station, made a lot of bread. The dude was, he was one of the most popular radio personalities in town, and, you know, and eventually he, I think, retired, you know. Yeah, sure.
Sure he did. Sure he retired.
But yeah, see, who else do I know? There were stories of guys melting down. I never saw it happen. I worked at a radio station here in L.A. Just before I got there, I heard of one of the disc jockeys that was working there before I got there, who had a complete fucking meltdown on PCP. Now, when I got to L.A. in 70, my first time that I, you know, arrived back in L.A. after leaving town to seek my fame and fortune, it was late 78, early 79. And at that time in America, PCP was the big killer drug. I don't know if you remember, but there were people supposedly snapping handcuffs. All the shit that they say people are doing on methamphetamine, they were doing on PCP. And PCP was allegedly the absolute, you know, pure derivative of cannabis, of the cannabis plant. I don't know what the fuck it was. It turned out that some people were just spraying rat poison on fucking Sherman cigarettes. If you saw a kid with a Sherman, they were smoking these Sherms. You know, that was what was happening then. I mean, we went to a high school and talked about drug abuse and, you know, and this and that. We had a chick working at the station, excuse me for referring to her as a chick, but, you know. And she was a very nice lady. I don't know where she is now, but she was a really foxy, brunette, Hispanic chick. I forget her name, but I mean, every guy on the air staff, you know, and she had the largest tits, you know, that, and I was going to say that money could buy, but back then it wasn't quite, you know, there was no real money thing going on. She just was real hot, but she also was sort of the radio station liaison for community outreach and community affairs and shit like that. So if the DJs were going to go talk to high school students about not spraying rat poison on their Sherman cigarettes, she would set all that shit up. She had that kind of consciousness, you know. We went to these functions so we could look at her tits. And also, now I, you know, well, yeah. No, well, not really. I mean, everybody was respectful to a point except for our morning guy. He would literally just corner her in the hallway and was all over her, man. Like, he was all over her in a New York second. So PCP was the thing, and that's what we talked about. And a guy on the station staff before I got there who was fired, which I don't think you have much choice when a guy just has a complete meltdown on the air while he's, you know, hitting up the fucking Shermans, you know. Yeah, they canned his ass. And it was kind of a legendary story. It was told to me by this lady. She said, you know who so-and-so is? I said, yeah, I've heard of him. She said he had a total fucking meltdown. I think she was, like, hooked up with this cat briefly, as a matter of fact. So there are a lot of guys like that. Coming up, yeah, I saw a lot of guys like that. Saw cats with cocaine, serious fucking coke abuse. That was the other thing that was happening. PCP was the drug that you weren't supposed to use, young people. But cocaine, that was all over the motherfucking place. And there was coke everywhere. And a very well-known, nationally, internationally recognized comic actor whose name I will not mention, but he's still on TV.
Phil, don't start playing games with people's reputations.
I'm not gonna. He hung out at the station at night because he was good friends with one of our disc jockeys, and the two of them did big fucking, film canisters loaded with fucking blow. They just did this shit, you know. I was there at night doing production because I got off the air at 6. And in those days, you're a disc jockey, you had your air shift, and then you had your production shift, and production shift is where you're cutting commercials, you know. you had a fair workload in terms of production, you know, finishing up, doing production, unless you were some super fucking star, which, you know, in those days, in rock and roll radio, FM rock radio, there wasn't anybody really that big that they were not, I'm sorry, I don't do that. Yes, you do. So, 1-2, 1-2, 1-2. Oh, yeah, that's right. We're not on the fucking thing. I was there at night, and I'm doing my production work, and it's getting on about 11 o'clock at night because I'm hanging. Because, you know, you'd hang out, and you're doing your production, then you get caught up talking to somebody. It wasn't like it got to be later where you couldn't wait to get the fuck out of the station, you know. You're hanging out. People say, hey, want to go downstairs and have a drink? Because we had a... In the downstairs lobby was a Jolly Roger. Those of you, are there still Jolly Rogers in California? It was a great restaurant, kind of like a Bob's, except it was a really great place for breakfast. I mean, they had fucking awesome breakfast. There's a Jolly Roger on Balboa Island in Newport Beach, and I don't know if it's still there, but that used to be the place to go on a Sunday morning after you just got just fucking hammered, and especially 4th of July on Balboa Island is like insane. And every morning, you know, every Sunday morning after whatever, every morning after the 4th of July, we were over there. I got to get down to the beach this year for the 4th of July because I used to hang out with the Brown family and my godson and my best friend Don Olander and that family. And God damn, man, we had a 4th of July there one year. I don't know. I drank more fucking tequila. I drank shit. This is back before I knew what I was doing with tequila. And I drank that goddamn Jose Cuervo, and it was... The next morning, I woke up with... One of the things that happens to me is I get headaches. I get tension headaches from my shoulders and my neck. If I don't have a... If I'm not throwing up, and I generally don't throw up when I get hammered, what happens is I just pass out, and then the next morning, I wake up with a fucking splitting headache, and I woke up with a splitting fucking headache. I had to be in Hermosa Beach for a fucking volleyball tournament that I was representing the radio station at. And just to top everything off, as I went to sleep that night on some fucking cot on some balcony somewhere at some fucking house in Balboa Island, the bottle of tequila I had with me tipped over and soaked the only shirt that I had. So there I am with a shirt soaking fucking wet, stinking like tequila. So I did the only thing I could do, which was to very quickly, you know, rinse this fucker out so I don't reek of this shit, put it on, you know, dried it out as best I could, got within a mile of the beach and went into a fucking TJ Maxx or something. I think it was like, I don't know if it was pre-Target those days. You know, Target's like the greatest store ever invented for shirts and shit. You just want to run in and get a shirt. And I went into a TJ Maxx, I got a shirt. And, you know, pop the fucking Visine and just, you know, hi, Phil Henry here for, in those days, what station was I at? I was at KLSX, and what was a classic rock station, right? Yeah. Oh, fuck. That was 4th of July in Balboa Island. But the Jolly Roger downstairs on Sunset Boulevard, which is where our station used to be, K-West, and now it's Power 106 is the station that's there. I don't know if it's in the same building or not. I think Power 106 is that a CBS station? I think everybody's moved out there to... has moved out there to Burbank. But, we had that Jolly Roger downstairs, and I would be doing production. Somebody'd say, "Hey, Phil, come on down. Let's have a drink." Well, fuck it. You know, I'm doing production now. I'm not doing my show. So, so go down there. Bam, bam, bam. You go back upstairs, and bang, bang, bang. There's a knock on the door. There's like three or four chicks there because the guy that came on after me, he'd be talking to girls on the request line, and he'd invite them up to the station. So now here comes, you know, three or four women. I mean, the place after hours, and nothing illegal was going on. No bad shit or anything, you know, whatever. I mean, I think it took chutzpah for some guys to have sex in the control room with some chick. Because, look, are you there to do your show? I mean, that I was always all business, you know. It was just never going to happen. But there were guys, you know, that nowadays, because I own my own studio, I mean, I own my own play. Well, naturally. No, I'm just fucking around. So there was that. And then, while, you know, that's going on, here comes this famous cat in there just doing buckets of this shit. Does anybody ever remember a comic by the name of the Amazing Jonathan? He's a comedian magician. Anybody remember this guy? I'm going to tell you, I loved him. I saw him twice. Every fucking time, only two times I saw him, but I loved him. And I would look for him. It wasn't anything. If I saw him, I bet you if I actually saw this cat, if I saw that this cat had a show somewhere, I would probably buy tickets for it. I mean, I thought this guy was that good, man. Let's see something here. Okay, so there's one. Oh, I see. What? I don't get it, man. What is four, man? Is that network? What the fuck is camera four? Oh, we have a camera four. All right. Anyway, the Jolly Roger was, but anyway, Amazing Jonathan. This dude would get on stage doing all kinds of, well, the best trick that I ever saw is he had a straw in a beer pitcher full of white powder. And he just like, excuse me for a minute. He snorted the whole fucking beer pitcher of white powder. And at the end of the thing, he goes, sorry, nasty fucking habit. You know, and then put the beer pitcher down and go on to whatever. That's the greatest goddamn trick I've ever seen in my life, man. All that fucking snow went right up his nose. I was like the guy in the front one. That's great. Did you guys see that? I mean, how did he do that, huh? Be easy, sir. No, how? So, that was that, man. I would love to show you who I'm talking about here on, and that's what I'm going to do here, man, CNN. Can we see CNN live, or do I got to buy a goddamn, not a goddamn thing, but I was wondering if I have to buy, or get, gain access, you know. Mississippi death row inmate. All right, so, before we get cranking here, Goodnight Malaysian 370, new last words from cockpit. Apparently there has been, I don't know, a new transcript that's been released. You can see here, Goodnight Malaysian 370. This is the kind of shit that you know what I'm saying, man? It's the kind of shit that I would do, you know. I don't know if the kind of shit you do.
Not enough selection in your search for income?
What the fuck is this?
We have more choices to suit you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah? That's groovy, man.
Breaking this morning, a copy of the transcript from Flight 370 confirms no one in the cockpit ever said, all right, good night. Instead, the final voice transmission sent at 1:19 a.m. actually was, good night, Malaysian 370. For weeks, Malaysian authorities said, all right, good night, were the final words the co-pilot said.
Whatever.
Before they lost communication.
I can confirm that it's 1:19 when we got the last transmission from the cockpit that says, all right, good night.
The rest reads like a normal cockpit transcript. Someone saying good day and good morning while the plane was taxiing. Then, during the flight's takeoff at 12:42 a.m., someone said, departure, Malaysian 370. About 15 minutes into its flight, another voice transmission. Malaysian 370 maintaining flight level 350. And then the final words were recorded. Good night, Malaysian 370. This, as Malaysian government sources tell CNN, they're treating the plane's sharp left turn as a, quote, criminal act carried out by one of the pilots or someone else on board.
whatever. You know? All right, so that is that, man. I don't see any big nefarious bunch of horse dung going on with that shit. That's for goddamn sure. All right, so in the show this morning, we will have that report, the Malaysian report. We're going to have, let me see. Art Griego. We also have Larry Grover, as I mentioned, on Obama and the Bossox. I think we'll start off with that, as a matter of fact. General, are you ready?
I would, yes. I would like to...
The other thing about General Shaw is I want to turn him a little more. He's too...
Yes, I want to comment on the North Korean, South Korean imbroglio.
What's that mean, imbroglio? Is that a vegetable?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
It's not a vegetable. What do you mean, a vegetable?
Why'd you say it was a vegetable?
Then you like imbroglio with cheese?
Jesus Christ, Dickman.
All right. NATO to boost forces in Eastern Europe. You know, all kinds of shit, man. Margaret's filth file has really taken off. Mississippi death row inmate Bobby Dooley is going to be talking about that. I think Bobby will probably come on. And we got a Bobby Dooley podcast today, do we? I don't know. This fucking landslide, man, has just been horrible. And then Mark Zuckerberg will be dealt with by Steve Bozell. Marathon victim files slander suit against Glenn Beck. Stephen Colbert are in our media report, and that will be probably Doug Dinger. Okay. We ready to go? Not just yet. Who am I talking to? You? Me? You? Me? You? What am I hearing? Don't you goddamn say a fucking thing. What am I hearing, man? See, one of the worst things you can have in this business is bleed. That's what we call bleed. When there's a source bleeding and you don't know where the fuck it's coming from, or you might know where it's coming from and you can't do anything about it because you need that pot and you can't get that shit from bleeding into the fader that you... I'd just as soon fucking kill myself. Stand by for... joining our Listen Live friends. And we'll be doing that right. Testing, testing, testing. Here we are. Welcome to Listen Live listeners. Welcome to our tune-in listeners. About ready to start our show. It is 9 o'clock out here on the West Coast at the El Pacifico. Wherever you are, I hope it all good. You know. And let's get this shit going.